the last verse. It's very nice. It's kind of the summary of the entire ninth chapter. Next chapter, the verse number 34. Manmana bhava mad bhaktaha. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam. Atmanam matparayanaha. So, mama, when the Lord says, what he means is the Lord not only as Krishna, but as I mentioned, the Lord of the whole universe, Brahman. So, man, mana, bhava, put your mind. Mana means mind, bhava means become. Become mat mana means your mind should only be thinking about me. And then mat bhaktaha, and be my devotee. Devote your attention to me. Madhyaji. And madhyaji means all sacrifices, you do them for me. Sacrifices, one of course is sacrifice done, a ritual, you know, where in the ritual you offer, you know, some grain in the fire or you offer some food in the fire and he does swaha and you dedicate it to the Lord. But what he means is that anything that you do in the world, you can do it as a sacrifice to me. All your activities dedicate to me and mam namaskuru and prostrate to me, bow down to me. And then what happens? Mam eva aishyasi. Mam eva, you shall reach me and me alone. Yuktva evam, having in this way attached your mind to me, joined to me. Atmanam mat parayana, and make me your ultimate goal. Actually, this verse is not very complicated. We can do it in short and finish it, and that way we can start the new chapter next week. So, as most of it we already talked today, as all of the people talked, that all your activities you can devote to him. And why does he say mad bhakta, madhyaji, mam namaskuru? How do I become a bhakta? How do I become a devotee? How do I love the Lord? With my heart, with my mind, I love the Lord. Man mana bhava. So put your mind on me and love me. And then he says, madhyaji, and sacrifice everything for me. How do I sacrifice? With my intellect. With the right understanding that the Lord alone is the doer. Once the doership goes away, the enjoyership also goes away. When I didn't do it, then when the results come, they are not mine either. If I am successful, I don't get overly joyed. If I am unsuccessful, I don't get overly depressed. I say, okay, you know, it was not meant to be, and I move on. So with the mind, you love him and you become his bhakta. With the intellect, madhyaji, and mam namaskuru, and bow down to me. Namaskuru, bow down. How do you bow down? With your body. So the idea being that your body, your mind, and your intellect, all three are turned towards the Lord in devotion. And then obviously, you know, when all my activities are dedicated to him, like she said, whether you're sweeping the floor or whether you are seeing patients or whether you are doing, like he said, accounting, whatever, when you're doing it as the Lord's work, mame vaishyasi, then you will reach me alone, right? And that is the goal of spiritual life. That is the goal of human life. Atmanam mat parayana, make me your goal, make me your final destination. And what they say is that if you do not reach him in this lifetime, as you have progressed, the next life you will continue the journey. It's not going to end. And the journey will keep on and on and on. You will keep taking birth till you finally reach him. So why waste time? Why not start in this life itself? Why wait for 5 lifetimes from now or 10 lifetimes from now? From now itself I should start. So that's what they say, when all your activities are dedicated to me, then you shall reach me, mam eva aishyasi, you shall reach me and me alone. And this is like a written guarantee, you know, it's like a lifetime guarantee. He says, you turn your attention towards me, you work for me, and you shall reach me alone. So that is the essence of this verse. Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary talks a little bit about saguna and nirguna, form and formless. Do we worship Lord with a form or with a formless? So in this, it seems like he's saying, worship me with a form, right? You think about me and then you remember me and you worship me and you offer everything to me. And so in your mind, you have this image of Jesus or you have the image of Krishna or Shiva or Mother Goddess. And so you are offering everything to that form of the Lord. So what they say is that that is for beginners. Because you initially start out by loving a form of the Lord. I love Mother Goddess more than anything else. Wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. And that is great. But as you start worshipping a particular form of the Lord and you're remembering Him, you slowly start putting all the good qualities that I want to develop in myself. And we do that, right? We say God is all compassionate, all kind, all loving, all merciful, all forgiving. Because these are the qualities I want to develop. I want to become loving and compassionate and merciful and kind and forgiving and sharing. So we say that Lord is all beautiful qualities. We don't ever ascribe bad qualities because there are none. You know, He is the one that gives us everything, you know, in plentiful. So you develop an attitude of gratitude and slowly superimpose all the good qualities upon this particular form. Like Jesus, when they think of Jesus, they say, oh, he was so kind and so merciful, so forgiving, even He forgave His enemies. So that kind of qualities you slowly transfer to the Lord. And then from there, you say the God is not only limited in that form. If you say He can only be as Krishna, all the other forms are useless, or can only be as Jesus, all the other idols should be destroyed, then you are limiting the God. God is only in that one little form of Jesus or one little form of Buddha or one little form of Krishna. And that is what breeds fanaticism. Because when you say that my form of God alone is real and all others should be destroyed, and that is what breeds all the violence. So then he says that you slowly extend that Lord. He's not only in the form, He's not only in the temple or the church or the mosque, but He is everywhere. In all the beings, like Mahatma Gandhi, he could see God in even the poorest person. So see God in all the beings and all the creatures and extend Him. And then once you, then He becomes formless, right? You start out with the form and then He becomes all pervading. He is everywhere and He is in me too. See, we forget that I am also a manifestation of that divinity. And that is where the transformation happens. When you realize that I am also that divine soul, Aham Brahmasmi, that is the final evolution of the student when he or she understands that not only God is in everything, in the chair, in the table, in the floor, in the space, in the air, but He is in me as every breath, kan kan me Bhagwan, in every cell of me that God is. And then how can He be limited to one form, right? When He is everywhere, in everything, then all forms are His, all temples are His, all churches are His, all mosques are His, all holy books are His, all people are His, and I am also Him. And that is the final evolution. So then only you will reach Him. As long as you think of God as being somebody far away and somebody separate and somebody I have to reach sometime in the future and in time and in space. You know, He's far away in space and far away in time. And in time and in space, sometime I will reach Him. They say, no, I am Him. He is here and now. I am that. And that is called self-realization. That's the essence of the Upanishads. Tattvamasi, in the Chandogya Upanishad, the teacher tells the student, you are that. God is not, you are that God. You are that divinity. God is not far away. He is you. And the student, by the end of the Upanishad, understands, yes, teacher, I am that. So that is the evolution. So just as in the beginning, a child, when he's counting 3 plus 8, so he'll say, put three fingers in one hand and 5 fingers in the other, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The child is very happy. He learned 3 plus 5 is 8. Now he's become an accountant and he's working in his client's office. And he said, how much is 3 plus 5, 8? He's not going to put up 3 fingers and 5, 1, 2, 3. He already knows 3 plus 5 is 8. He doesn't need to. He's already outgrown that. So similarly, you start by worshiping Lord as a form because that is easier. It is easy to love God in a particular form. It is hard to love Him as a formless. But then extend that love to all forms and everything. And He is that all-pervading consciousness that is everywhere, in everything. And in me, antar bahishtatat sarvam vyapta narayana tishthati. It says in the Upanishads that the Narayana is within and without. Antar bahish. Vyapta narayana tishthati sarvam. Everywhere He is. He's there in everything. And then such a person spontaneously loves everybody and develops that. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse. And this beautiful chapter, the 9th chapter, I think those of you who don't have it, I would encourage you to buy the Bhagavad Gita. We have all the 18 volumes, 18 chapters there. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.